When the coronavirus struck, the biggest immediate need was food. Then it was housing assistance. So what's going to be the third wave?
And that's the kind of $64,000 question, I would say, in the room right now.
That's David Taylor from the United Way of McLean County. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Denver on Frontier Airlines. The Mile High City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org.
It's Monday, July 13th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with how McLean County plans to turn around its nursing home. The county-run nursing home in Normal has lost $5 million over the last 3 years. More from Eric Stock.
McLean County officials say the new administrator hired to take over the nursing home is the change agent the facility needs. County Administrator Camille Rodriguez says Terry Edens, a veteran in long-term care, has a track record of turning around other long-term care facilities.
She brought the quantifiable information about how she increased census and reduced expenditures in her previous positions.
The county nursing home lost $2.25 million last year. Eden says she can eliminate that red ink.
But I do think that we can, you know, we can make budget, and I know, that we can increase census with just a few changes.
One change, Eden says, would be better fiscal discipline.
If it's not needed, let's not order it. Can we wait? If it's needed, of course, we will do whatever we need to do to provide the appropriate things for the staff and the residents.
Another plan is to fill more beds at the nursing home. It's half empty now. County Administrator Rodriguez says the nursing home needs to overcome the stigma often associated with facilities whose residents are mostly Medicaid insured. But she says the low-income population is why the county must ensure the nursing home's long-term viability.
Calls to privatize the nursing home or even perhaps close it are not as loud as the calls of how important it is to have a nursing home in this community that largely serves and supports people who use Medicaid as their insurance.
Rodriguez says the county also plans to hire more of its own medical staff to save money rather than outsourcing for much of it. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There was one new case of the coronavirus reported yesterday. That makes 43 new cases in the past week alone. That's the most since the outbreak at Bloomington Rehab in the middle of May. Among the most recent batch of cases are at least four Normal firefighters. One of them contracted it while off duty and unknowingly exposed colleagues when returning to work. Town officials say 11 others were isolating pending their own test results. And Illinois is launching a $2 million campaign to prevent abuse, neglect, and exploitation of seniors and adults with disabilities. It's a problem officials fear has worsened during the coronavirus. See more on these stories at WGLT.org. The coalition of public and private partners that sprung into action after the coronavirus hit is now preparing for its next challenge. The Serving BN and Beyond Coalition started with food insecurity, doling out almost 90,000 grab-and-go meals. As that demand eased, their attention has shifted to rent, utilities, and mortgage assistance. They created a one-stop shop application for people seeking housing aid from many different places. Pawnee Itham is chair of the United Way of McLean County, a key player in that coalition. He says they didn't see the spike they were expecting in July for housing assistance. It's partly because the state's eviction moratorium was extended to the end of the month.
We now foresee the increase to happen in August and the spike to happen in September, because it requires about 30 to 45 days for that process to work itself through. But I'll share this one thing though, Ryan. We've been tracking as a coalition the call volume. So compared to the call volume and the case volume that we saw in the month of May to the month of June, we almost saw a good 80 to 90% increase in the call volume. I put an asterisk next to that, Ryan. This is very much tracking numbers by the coalition in bits and pieces. So I probably wouldn't say that's the most accurate number, but directionally, we are seeing an increase already happening. And we foresee that to only increase in the upcoming months.
David Taylor, you're the president and CEO of United Way of McLean County. If the first wave was food, and the second wave was housing assistance, what's going to be the third wave, and how big is it going to be?
Well, and that's the kind of $64,000 question, I would say, in the room right now. We're planning to do some scenario, I guess planning would be the best way to put it, with some of the school districts and with some of the daycare youth programming providers. And the intent with that is that we started gearing up the Child Care Youth Programming Coalition late April, kind of a thing, right around that time, about halfway through what the Housing Coalition was doing. We were a little bit surprised, though, Ryan, to find out that once the economy started reopening at the end of May, that many of these places did not see a surge on demand. So in spite of probably a roughly 30% reduction in their capacity because of the COVID guidelines, the reopening guidelines, even with only 70% capacity, they found only about half of that 70% being used up. And so what we've learned anecdotally, at least, is that a lot of parents either are still working from home so they don't require it. Some are just still uncomfortable with putting their children out in there in public. And I'll share a corollary to that with some of the school surveys. You know, so they're keeping their kids home just because they're not ready without a vaccine. And then the third are just ones that have made alternative plans. They couldn't afford to wait until the economy reopened and people figured out what was available when and where. They've either locked something in or perhaps sent them away to stay with a relative. So that towards the mid to late May, we started shifting our focus more to the long term. What are the schools going to need when it's time to reopen? And in what form are they going to reopen? And so I alluded to some of their survey work, and what they're finding, at least preliminarily, is that as much as 20% of their parents are probably not going to be comfortable putting their kids back in the school buildings in the fall if there's not a vaccine. And they've also, you know, have a sense that it's about the same for the staff, that it's about 20% of the staff that's uncomfortable with that too. We've got our first meeting kind of mapping out some of these scenarios this Thursday to see what it is that the community can do in these daycare providers, these youth programming places. So YMCA, YWCA, Boys and Girls Club, Western Avenue, and others, how they might be able to help support what the schools might need, both from an education standpoint, but also importantly, a behavioral health standpoint, as schools reopen and in what form. I think their intent and their desire is to get particularly those fifth grade and under in the school buildings. But for junior high or high school, might, because of social distancing and some other things, might they opt for more e-learning? And as I understand it, having a 12-year-old myself in the local school systems, you know, they're asking if you're interested in doing distance learning, e-learning like that, you have to commit for the full semester. So that will help them logistically, but it'll also, if suddenly we see a spike in cases and they have to shut schools down, are we going to be prepared? Do we have a backup or contingency plan to help support them if suddenly parents are still at work but schools are shut down?
That's Pawnee Itham and David Taylor from the United Way of McLean County. Read the rest of this interview at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the Bloomington City Council meets tonight at 6. They'll discuss the current and future states of that downtown task force report. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Destin, Fort Walton Beach on Allegiant. The beach is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.